Next message. I appreciate Brother Ricky Gravely, pastors of the Bible Baptist Church there outside of Chattanooga, there in, Rossville, Georgia. And appreciate this man. He's been a blessing to me. He preached for us last year. And I asked him to come back. I want you to come and preach to us about 30 minutes. It's good to have you with us, Brother Rick. Amen. I love you, boy.
All right, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with us to the book of Revelation, chapter number 4. Revelation chapter 4, and I want to say it is a joy and privilege to be here. I always look forward to coming to camp meeting and just hearing the preaching and the fellowship, and I love the spirit of this meeting. Amen. And I tell people wherever I go, if you want to hear some good Bible preaching, and go to Taylorsville camp meeting. Amen. And I appreciate Brother Dagenhart, and our church loves him. He's been a great friend to me and a great friend to our church. Amen. And we need men of God like Brother Dagenhart, and I appreciate how the Lord has used him in my life. And the preaching, he doesn't know this. He preached a message at our church the last time he was there, and I never said anything to him, but God knew where we was at. He knew what we was facing, and God just used him greatly to help our church, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the Lord and how he uses his men. Amen. And if you're able to stand with us, Revelation chapter 4, read one verse of scripture and have prayer. Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter." Let's bow for prayer, and then you can be seated. Our precious Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence once again, Lord, as we come to the throne of grace and mercy, we do come in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to thank you for the privilege we have to be here this morning. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Son and for Calvary and for the shed blood. I pray now, God, that you'll bless us these next few moments. I pray that you'll give us liberty and vocabulary. Lord, help us not to say anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit this morning, but I pray that you would be glorified, your Son would be magnified, and may the church be edified this morning. Lord, I pray that we would see no man save Jesus only, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to preach a few minutes this morning on a simple subject, but I think it's the most needed subject of this hour. I want to preach on the reality of the rapture. Amen? The reality of the rapture. I want to say, if you think about years ago, there was a time when it seemed like every revival that you went to, you heard preaching on the rapture and on the second coming of Christ. We're closer now to the rapture than we ever have been. Amen? There's never been a generation that's lived on planet Earth that is closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ than this generation that we're living in today. But it seems like the reality of the rapture is slipping away from the saints of God. Seems like you don't hear as much singing and as much preaching about it as you used to. Seem like they have drove their tent stakes down deeper in this world, and that people are living more for this world rather than the world to come. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus is still coming. Amen? And the church is still getting out of here. When you come to this verse of scripture this morning, I see a spiritual saint, as John the Revelator has been invited to the third heaven to see things that must be hereafter. And then I see here a supernatural sound as John hears the voice of one, he said, that was as of a trumpet, and it's talking with him. And then I see a scriptural sight as John leaves this world and he goes to the next world. I want to tell you, friend, that's what's going to happen to every one of us that are saved. And in this text this morning, there's three things that I want to bring to your attention concerning John and this rapture that takes place here. I believe there's the same three things that we should be doing and that will happen in the rapture when Jesus comes for the church. Now, you still believe Jesus is coming? Say amen.
I believe he's coming, friend. And when I see the first thing that I see here concerning the reality of the rapture in John the Revelator is I see, number one, that John is looking. Amen. Notice the Bible says in verse number one that after this I looked. Amen. John is looking for Jesus. He's looking toward that door that has been opened in heaven. I want to say to you and I, if there's anything we need to be doing in 2019, we need to be looking. Amen. I see that John, he is looking. He is looking for what is about to take place. When you consider John looking this morning, I see that John is looking patiently. Amen. Notice what he said in this verse here. Notice that first phrase. He said, after this. Amen. Now, when you think about that this morning, and you think about this verse, the first phrase of this verse is after this. And then notice the last word of that verse. The last word is the word hereafter. Amen. If you want to know what's after this, I'm going to tell you what's after this. It's the hereafter. Amen. If you want to know why we ought to be looking, because after all of this, after all the trials, after all the troubles, after all the valleys, after all the tears, after all the sadness and the sickness and the suffering and the sorrows, we that are saved, we've got a blessed hope. Amen. After this, there will be the hereafter. Amen. When I think about that little phrase, after this, preacher, I think about how patiently John must have been looking. Because when you consider where he was at in chapter 1, he said he was in the Isles of Patmos. Amen. Now, he was in two places at the same time. You say, Brother Gravely, that's impossible for somebody to be in two places at the same time. Not if you're saved. Amen. I'm telling you, John said he was in Patmos, but he also said he was in the Spirit. Isn't that right? Now, Patmos was his earthly place. We all have Patmoses in our life. But in the Spirit, that was his heavenly place. Amen. And John found out that while he had outward poverty, while he was in Patmos, he had inward plenty while he was in the Spirit. Amen. He found out while he had outward bondage on that prison camp, in the Spirit, he had inward freedom. Amen. While he had outward solitude, he had inward fellowship. Amen. And while he had an outward storm, yet he had an inward calm. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, we that are saved, we're patiently looking for the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, after this. When you think about that, John has seen in chapter 2 and 3, not only is he in Patmos, but he has seen the church age. Amen. He's seen the church age at its best, and he has seen it at its worst. He's seen the worldliness of the church, and John has seen the deadness of the church. He has seen the persecution that would come upon the church. He has seen the lukewarmness of the church. He has seen the apathy and the complacency of the church. I mean, John seen it all in chapter 2 and 3. But in spite of all the church was and was not, in spite of all the good, the bad, and the ugly that John has seen, you know what? He's still looking. Amen. After all of this, John is still looking. Can I tell you something tonight or this morning? There's a lot of things about the church I wish was different. I wish churches wasn't dead. Can I get an amen? I wish churches wasn't worldly. Can I get an amen right there? I wish they weren't full of apathy and complacency. I wish they weren't lukewarm. But I want to tell you something, in spite of all that the church is, I'm still looking, aren't you? I'm still patiently looking for Jesus to come in these last days. Amen. Not only is he looking patiently, but I want you to see this. He's looking personally. Amen. He said, after this, I looked. Amen. John is looking for himself. Now, I can't do anything about you, and you can't do anything about me, but I can look myself. Amen. I'm telling you, in these last days, revival is individual. Amen. We ought to stop, we ought to just stop all the fussing about everything the church is not, and we ought to just start looking for Jesus to come. Amen. I mean, it's easy to complain about others, but I'll tell you what God's interested in this morning. He's interested in in the individual. Amen. You may not be able to change the person around you or on each side of you, but you can have as much of God's fullness, as much of God's power. You can be as excited and be full of joy in spite of others, friend. You can personally be looking for Jesus to come again. Amen. I like to be around them people that's looking personally, don't you? I mean, they're always happy and always smiling. Amen. I'm talking about John is looking patiently. And then John is looking personally. And then I see that John is looking passionately. Notice what he said in that verse. He said, after this I looked and behold. Amen. John is not just looking, but he's beholding. Amen. Now, you know what the word behold means. It means to fasten your eyes upon. It means to gaze upon. It means to stare upon. John is not just taking a glance. I think that's what's wrong with a lot of Christians today. They're just kind of like glancing at his coming. But John's not glancing. John is gazing. Amen. He's looking with some passion. He's looking steadfastly. I would suppose if I saw in verse number one what John saw in verse number one, I'd probably be looking too. Amen. But can I tell you something? I've got a whole Bible in John. Didn't have a whole Bible, and there's enough in this Bible that if we'll look at it, it'll cause us to behold, it'll cause us to gaze. I mean, John is looking with some passion. And what's missing in a lot of our churches today? Passion. Oswald Chambers said 100 years ago, he said, we've got a lot of preaching on the cross, but he said men preach the benefits of the cross. They preach justification, and he said they preach redemption, and they preach all the missing hell. And he said, wow, there's nothing wrong with that. He said what constrained Paul was not the benefits of the cross. It was the passion of the cross. He said, the love of Christ constraineth me. Oswald Chambers said 100 years ago, he said, we got a lot of preaching on the cross. We just don't have a lot of preaching on the cross but passion. Amen. I'd say along with that, we got a lot of singing, but we don't have a lot of singing with passion. We've got a lot of preaching, but we don't have a lot of preaching with passion. I'm telling you, listen, whatever somebody's going to do, I like to see them put their heart in it, don't you? I like to see them give 110%. I think when we go to church, we ought to come to go to church. Amen. I'm talking about we ought to have some passion about what we're doing. Amen. I was preaching yesterday morning in a preacher's meeting, and I told them, I said, you know, sometimes it's harder to preach to preachers than it is prisoners. You know that? Amen. Now you say, well, I don't, but if you've ever preached to preachers, you know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, I remember when I got saved, I was just glad I'd been pulled from the pit. I was just glad I wasn't going to hell. I was just glad I was amongst the redeemed. And when I went to church, I just went to go to church. Amen. I didn't try to size everybody and everything up. I didn't try to be a spiritual thermometer of the service. I just liked the singing, just liked the preaching, just enjoyed the fellowship. You say, what is that? That's that first love. Amen. That's that passion. Didn't matter if it was short preaching or long preaching. Didn't matter if he sweated or didn't sweat. Didn't matter if it got loud or if it was just soft. I just liked it all, don't you? Brother, I'm telling you, we need to look with some passion in these last days. John is looking passionately, and then I see John is looking through a portal. Amen. He says in verse number one that a door was open in heaven. John is looking through a portal. He's looking through that door that is opened in heaven. I see him in this text here as John is looking through that portal. He sees that door opened up into heaven. I would reckon if I saw a door, if I was to walk outside this tabernacle, it was to see a door open up into heaven, I believe I'd look through it too. Amen. And John's looking through that portal. He says it was a door. You know what a door represents? It represents two things. It represents an entrance, and it represents an exit. Amen. You see, you go through a door. Isn't that right? You open that door and you go through it. And when you go through that door, you're exiting one place and you're entering another. Amen. Well, John's looking through that portal, friend. I want to tell you, there's been some times in my life I've never been through that portal, but I've stood by the bedside of saints of God that have lived for God down through the years. I've seen the sickness and the suffering that would come upon them. And I stood by their bedside, and what looked grim on this side, they were looking through a doorway. They was looking through something else. All I could see was the sickness and the suffering and the sadness, but they're looking through that portal, amen. And I've stood by their bedside, and many of you have. And I want to tell you, friend, I've seen them exit this life and enter in that next life. You say, what happened? They slipped through that portal, that doorway. Amen. John sees that portal. I remember when my wife's father was dying of brain cancer. Those brain tumors had shut down his motor skills. So many of them had multiplied in his head that it was shutting down all of his motor skills. He couldn't move. Couldn't move his arms. Couldn't move his legs. He got to where he couldn't speak. He couldn't hardly swallow. And then finally he got to where he couldn't open his eyes. And they say the last thing that goes is the hearing. He could hear, but he couldn't move anything. And I want to tell you, just a few moments before he went to glory, he'd been laying there kind of comatose for the last 2 or 3 days, but all of a sudden that portal opened up, and you know what happened when it opened up? He opened his eyes wide open, and he was looking upward, and my wife said, Danny, you see something, don't you? He kind of looked over at her for a moment and stared at her for just a minute, and then he looked over at his wife and stared at her just a moment, and then he looked at his other daughter, and then he looked back up, and she leaned over and she said, Danny, she said, it'll be all right. Everybody over here is okay. You just go on and be with Jesus. We'll meet you in the morning. I want to tell you, in just a matter of a few moments, he drew his last breath and he slipped through that portal, friend. Hey, can I tell you, I'm looking for one of these days when that portal's going to open up bigger than it's ever opened up before. And it's not opening up so all of us can just go in, but it's opening up so the King of Glory can come out. And friend, when he comes, he's going to gather up all of us and take us through that portal. John sees a door. Hallelujah. And I'm looking for that door, aren't you? John is looking. And then I see John is not only looking, but he's listening. Amen. Look at verse number 1. He said in this verse, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. John is looking, but he's also listening. John, what are you listening to? He said, I'm listening to a voice. Yes, sir. I want to tell you, it's not just any voice. But John said in this text, it's the first voice. John said it's the first voice. The first voice that John hears in heaven, my friend, is the voice of our Savior. And can I tell you, I don't know about you, but I think the first voice that I'm going to hear when I get to the other side, I don't think it'll be the voice of my mother. I don't think it'll be the voice of my father. I don't think it'll be the voice of loved ones that have gone on. But I think the first voice that I hear on the other side will be the one that bled and died for my sins. It'll be the one that gave his all. That first voice that John hears, he's the first and the last. It was the first voice on the dawning of creation, friend. It was the first voice, my friend, on that resurrection morning. I'm talking about the first voice that we hear in the rapture. The Bible said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. How's he coming? He's coming with a shout. Amen. I think the first voice we're going to hear in the rapture, friend, is going to be a voice of our Savior. Hallelujah. Not only was it the first voice, but I want to tell you this morning, it was a familiar voice. Because it wasn't the first time John had heard that voice. John had heard that voice for 3.5 years. He had heard it on the green hillsides of Judea. He had heard it out in the desert. He had heard it out in the wilderness. John had heard that voice on the Mount of Transfiguration. He had heard that voice as it prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He heard that voice on Calvary when he cried out those 7 sayings. He heard that voice after that great resurrection morning. He heard that voice on the Mount of Olives as he ascended back into heaven. He knew that voice, friend. John knew that voice. It was a familiar familiar voice. And can I tell you something? When we get to heaven, he'll not have to introduce himself to us. Amen. We won't have to get to heaven and God introduce Christ to us. I'm here to tell you this morning, the first voice that we hear will be a familiar voice. You see, I'll not be a stranger when I enter that city. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, what a voice. It'll be a, you say, preacher, how do you know? You'll know his voice because I've got his word right here. Amen. This is his word. You know where the word comes from? It comes from a voice. Amen. And if you know the word this morning, I want to say when he speaks to us, this is the written word. But one day that living word will speak to us and it'll be so familiar. My friend, we'll know that voice. It's a familiar voice. And then I would say it is a firm voice this morning. John said that it was as the sound of a trumpet. You know, it's impossible to blow a trumpet quietly. You can't blow a trumpet and not make a racket, amen? I don't know how to play a trumpet, but if I was to blow a trumpet, everybody in here would hear it, amen? You know why? Because it's loud. It's firm. It sends out a sound across the waves. And can I tell you something? One of these days when Jesus comes again in the rapture, that voice is going to be so firm. It's going to be that trumpet voice. You know, the Bible said as preachers, we ought to lift up our voice like a trumpet. Amen. There's going to be some authority behind that voice. I want to tell you, there's going to be so much authority behind that voice. And it's going to be so firm that it's going to resurrect the dead. Amen. It's going to bring them out of the grave. And we that are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds. I'm talking about that voice. It is a firm voice. Amen. Then I want to tell you this morning, it's not only a firm voice, but it's a friendly voice. Notice what John said in this verse here. He said that trumpet was talking with him. He said it was talking with me. What about a God that would want to talk to us? Now, it's a privilege to talk to God. But I want to tell you something. It's an honor that he would talk to us. I want to tell you this morning, if the president was to roll in, if he was to come in this congregation and was to come before this podium this morning, I do not know what the president would say, but I'm quite certain that whatever he had to say, he would not have anything to say to me personally. He would not stop by my seat and stop and say anything to me. He doesn't have anything personally to say to me because he doesn't know me. Amen. And if he did know me, he knows so many people. I'm sure that I would be the last on his list. But what about the God of heavens? What about the Savior of this world? That when he comes back, he's got something personally that he wants to say to every one of us. He is our friend. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I will be a friend of Jesus. Amen. Because he's been a friend to me. And it is a friendly voice. Amen. I see John is looking. John is listening. And then I want you to notice this morning. John is leaving. The Bible said in verse number 1 that that trumpet talked with him, and this is what he said. He said, come up hither. John has been looking. He's been listening. But now he's leaving. I want to tell you something, friend. What we need to do in these last days, we need to be looking. We need to be listening. You know why? Because it's not going to be too long. We're going to be leaving. Amen. This world thinks we're crazy this morning. But I'm telling you, it's not going to be too long. We're getting out of here. Amen. It might be today. I'm looking. Wouldn't it be a beautiful day for Jesus to come? I sit under this tabernacle and I thought, my Lord, God has been so good to us today to give such wonderful weather and a cool breeze that's blowing across this tabernacle right now. And the sky is shining so bright and so beautiful right now. Hey, you know what? I'm telling you, friend, it may just be the breeze of heaven blowing in our direction this morning, because just any day now the sky may roll back like a scroll, and the next thing that you and I know, we could be standing in the presence of our loved ones and our Savior and our King. Hallelujah. And I see in this text that John is leaving, the desire for John to leave earth. Notice that first word is the word come. It means children can come. It means old people can come. It means middle-aged folks can come. It means everyone can come. John is wanting to go, but it doesn't say that the word go. It says the word come. I know by the time we get to this text here, John, after seeing that door, after hearing that voice as of a trumpet, you know he wanted to go. Amen. He wanted to go where that was. But the desire for John to leave earth is as great on the other side of that door as it is on this side of that door. He wants to go, but the words not go. The word is come. Amen. There's a call that's coming out of that doorway. There's a call coming from that portal. I often wonder, preacher, how does the spirit leave this body? I mean, when it comes that time to die, I know the heart stops beating and the lungs stop working, but how do we leave this world? I'm going to tell you how we leave, and we can't leave until then. We leave when we hear that call. Amen. And that call is going to be come. Amen. Man, I want to tell you, heaven desires for us to be there as much, if not more, than we desire to go. Amen. You know, I've buried some good church members. Can I be honest with you? Now, y'all probably won't laugh at this, but it'll be all right. I've often stood by the graveside of good church members, and I thought to myself, Lord, why did you take them? We needed them. And I would think to myself, Lord, I've got 15 others that I'd give you. I mean, just be honest for a few moments. Have you ever not wondered, why don't God take some of them mean church members? Them non-tithing church members? Them old dead cantankerous, why don't he take them? I mean, you know, they'd be better off. They're not going to live no better down here, and they're not helping us. So why don't he just take them on to glory? Only thing I can figure out, he don't want them up there no more than we want them around us. Amen? So he just leaves them here. Boy, every now and then he'll take one of them real precious ones. And I thought to myself, why in the world does he take them precious saints of God? I'm going to tell you why, because he wants them to come. I see not only the desire, but I see the direction in which he's going. That word he said, come up, amen. I'm going to tell you, friend, we're not going down, we're going up, amen. You look in a hole in the ground, the further you dig, the darker it looks, amen. But the further you look up, the brighter it looks, amen. I got on a plane the other day, headed to a meeting, and preacher, it was raining so hard. I thought to myself, Lord, we're not going to take off in this. And you know what? We started down that runway, and I mean, listen, it got so dark, and the cloud, the rain was coming down so hard, and we took off at plane. You know what it was doing? It was a rocking and reeling. I thought to myself, man, surely they know what they're doing. But I sure wouldn't have took off and took a flight on such a dark day like this. And you know what? The further we went, guess what? The darker those clouds got, the harder the rain got. I could hear the lightning bolts. I could hear the thunder. I thought, my Lord, what in the world? We're all going to die in the middle of this. But I'll tell you what happened in just a matter of a second. As dark as those clouds got, all of a sudden we broke through. And when we broke through, you know what? It was sunlight as far as you could see in every direction. We got above the clouds. I'm going to tell you, one of these glorious days, we're going to get above the clouds, friend. We're going to get through. We're going to get to the other side. One of these days, we're not going down, but we're going up. Hallelujah. I remember when I was going down. But when I met Jesus, I started in an upward direction. And then I see the destination of John leaving this earth. He said, come up hither. I thought about that word. Thought, what does that mean? I mean, I'm from North Georgia. I know what hither means. In redneck language, somebody say amen. Amen. It just means here. Come hither. Your daddy said, come hither. You know what he means, come here. But I was in a motel. I didn't have a Greek, you know, or I didn't have a Strong's. I couldn't look it up. And I thought, well, I just, Lord, would you give me a definition? Well, I know it means here, but what does it mean? I like God's definition. Amen. He said, son, he said, I'll tell you what that means. It just means you're going higher. Amen. He said, come up hither. That means John was going higher. It meant that John not only was going higher, but it meant it was going to heaven. Amen. And it meant that he was going home. Amen. One of these days, whether by rapture or whether by death, that portal's going to open up, friend. I'm going to hear the call. It's going to say, come up hither. You know what that means? It means I'm going up higher. It means I'm going to heaven. And it means, thank God, I'm going home. Hallelujah. Amen. My sister passed away a couple years ago. My mother took care of her all of her life. For 40 years, 43 years, she was born profoundly retarded. For 43 years, she fed her every meal, gave her a bath, and every day she'd brush her hair. They treated her like a little old baby, put them little pigtails in her hair. I mean, my sister wore pigtails all the way up till she was probably 30 years old. Just a handicap. She probably wore out 1,000. I'm not exaggerating one bit. No telling how many hundreds of those little baby plastic keys. She had severe autism. She would just sit in the corner all day long. Very lovable person. Never spoke a word. And she'd just shake them keys all day long. She'd just shake them keys and she'd smile and shake them keys. The doctor told my mother she wasn't even saved. Said she'll never walk. Now what about this? My mother wasn't even saved. And she started praying. She said, God, I don't know if you're real, but would you let her walk? And at 8 years of age, I remember sitting there. She was 8 years old. I was sitting in the living room one day watching television. And I was sitting there and she could pull up a little bit, but she had no arches in her feet. So they said it'd be impossible for her to ever to walk. And my mother, she wasn't saved. We didn't go to church, but she'd pray. Now I remember hearing her pray, God, would you just let her walk? And I remember the afternoon sitting there. My sister pulled up on the coffee table and she took two little old feeble steps all by herself. My mother burst out in tears. Hey, we didn't know God, but God was doing something right there. Amen. After 43 years of taking care of her, I was up in Culpeper, Virginia one morning and my telephone rang and my mother was on the other end of that line and I could hear that machine going off and I could hear that nurse saying, do you want us to revive her? She said, son, we're losing her. She's going. She'd been in it, just slipped out. I said, Mom, tell her to go be with Jesus. It'll be all right. She said, Jennifer, you go on and be with the Lord. It's going to be okay. You just go on. Hey, she hadn't opened her eyes, but I'll tell you what she did. She turned her head over and she looked at my mother and she smiled real big and she drew her last breath. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying on the hillsides of glory somewhere there's a little blonde-headed girl and her body's not twisted. She can run the hillsides all day long. She's in a new body. She's got a new name. And one of these days, I'm going to hear that call and I'm going to meet her in the morning and it's going to be reunion time forever and ever with Jesus. Amen. Amen. And our hope in these last days is the rapture. Amen. Don't lose sight. He's still coming. Amen. Amen.